welcome to Grandma's Email Address. This is episode 6. I'm Adam Dachis, your pseudo-host, and I'm here with Becca and Matt. Hi, guys.
Hi.
Matt, I like that hello. I don't know what it sounded like on your end, but it, coming through Skype, it was like, hello.
Oh.
The magic of the internet.
Yeah.
So, we have a few things to talk about today, such as, you know, places you wouldn't want to die, and watching women in the shower, but we'll get to that in a little bit.
Really?
Yeah. I know, it's exciting. But I wanted to start off by talking about a movie that I had been meaning to see for a while, and I saw, I think, a couple days ago, called God Bless America. I don't know if you guys know about that film.
I don't.
Okay, so do you know who Bobcat Goldthwait is?
Yes. Yeah. Oh, that movie!
Yeah.
Yes, I've heard about it, and I've heard good things.
Yeah, it was I didn't realize that I liked him as a director and a writer until this movie came out, and I found I found out that he's actually written a few things. He's had another movie, I haven't seen this one yet, called Sleeping Dogs Lie, which is, if you don't know, about a woman who is, I think, about to marry her boyfriend or fiance or something, and she wants to, like, tell him the secrets of her past, and one of them is that she let a dog eat her out.
Oh, and, wow. Well, like, is that real?
Yeah, no, this is a real movie. But the thing is, there's another one where there's one called World's Greatest Dad with Robin Williams. You might have heard of that.
Oh, I've heard of that one. I didn't know that was Bobcat Goldthwait.
Yeah, that's him. And and it's and that's about Robin Williams basically capitalizes off his son's suicide to become, like, a famous author. And so all of these movies, and God Bless America is about two liberals who decide to shoot a bunch of the most deplorable conservative citizens in America.
That sounds like him.
Yeah. I watched this film and I'm wondering, like, what was really the point of the movie? Because it's definitely saying that there are bad people in the world and they should go away. But then if you're going ahead and killing them, and like the main character, he just wants to get rid of mean people and, like, bad, awful people in the world. But then he's going around shooting them, which kind of makes him a mean person.
Yeah.
And so I left the experience wondering, okay, but aren't you now an asshole too?
Right.
So, well, that's the whole question.
Yeah, and so my question is, if you hate, you know, say, those 16-year-old spoiled girls and the Glenn Becks of the world, then what is the solution to them? I thought of this idea for a reality show a couple weeks ago called Extremist Island, where where we can take all the extremists, you know, I mean, like, everyone from PETA to the Tea Party.
All those people.
Amish people?
Yeah.
Oh, see, they would, like, I don't know if we could get rid of the Amish, because they would probably do really well on this show, and it would not be entertaining.
I didn't understand the purpose of the show. I thought it was just to have every extremist type of person in
one
place.
They couldn't get to the island, because you probably need an airplane or a boat, and that has a motor in it or something. Like, I'm sure there's some
sort of...
They
can canoe there.
Yeah.
It takes time.
Well, they could just be drugged, and then they wouldn't, and then take it, and then they wouldn't know.
If but you here, want Amish people there, you could get them back.
Okay, so I'm just going to read this little blurb so I can explain this quickly and not have a lot of ums and ahs in here. The show takes every religious, political, or whatever kind of extremist and ships them off to a remote island, far away from civilization, where they all, despite their differing opinions, go to start a new society. They will get to argue for humanity, and we will be entertained without their presence in any relevant part of our civilization. So it's kind of a win-win situation. And I went into this whole thing where, you know, I'm like, everybody, all the different extreme groups get at their own camp. So PETA gets a camp, and the Tea Party gets a camp. And whatever, and then I think, like, they'll get, like, a month to set up and figure out their society, but then each person gets a resource that they're going to have to that they'll control, and they're going to have to trade with each other and try to get along. Which
is Catan? What is this?
What?
Settlers of Catan.
Oh, I don't. What is Settlers?
Extremist Settlers of Catan. Yeah, it's a board game.
It seems like a board game.
So oh, that's right. Yeah, I've heard of that. Okay.
Strategy game.
It's like Age of Empires, but with extremists.
Yeah, that may be an apt comparison. I'm not familiar enough to say that.
In that game, like, doesn't everybody get like a special? It's not a resource thing. It's usually like a soldier or like a building or something.
I have no idea.
But like PETA would get, I don't know.
They would get water.
Well, no, they would control the animals.
Yeah, that would be great. But the thing is, PETA kills a lot of animals, though. They may end up killing the animals because they have, like, kindness killings that they enact because they're like, well, a human couldn't possibly take care of this animal well enough, so we bet we should just kill it.
Yeah, they do that, too. Mm-hmm.
So whether or not they would eat it is another story. I assume they get buried. But anyway, everyone would have a resource, and it might be more interesting if someone else controlled the animals because PETA would be, like, they'd lose their shit. But but everyone would have a resource, and they'd have to find ways to work together or die trying. And I think it would be, one, entertaining, and two...
You could see the subtitle of the show could be ... or die trying.
Yeah.
Island or die trying.
Yeah. But, you know, like, the other thing is they can learn how to compromise and change and be better people or die trying. And I think either way it solves the problem. Of course, that's not going to happen because if you ask the extremists, they're probably... I mean, they'd... probably counter with, like, let's have homosexual island and then sink it. But
speaking of homosexual island, you should get Matthew Beyer on this show sometime.
Because he wrote that book on
a book about that sort of type thing. Mm-hmm. Actually, heterosexual island
is where the gays take over the world.
Yeah,
that's not a bad idea.
I'll make a little plug for his book right now. It's called The Breeders. And it has a really nice cover art, and you can buy it on ebook as well.
Oh, is it out now?
Yeah, it's out.
He
had a book signing recently.
This is not the story of Breeders, the band with Kim Deal's sister.
I don't know.
They have that song Cannonball. No, that's not them.
I don't know. I don't know music.
All right. Someone listening to this will know who the Breeders are.
Yes.
All right.
Potential. Yeah. Well, if our one listener.
No, seriously, you should have him on the show. He would be a great. Personality. He has lots of opinions.
It's funny because I was just looking at an email from him from like 3 years ago because I was trying to find out. I lost a microphone. You will know this. You know how I have a shotgun microphone and a boom pole?
Yeah.
I forgot that I did for like a year, and then I remembered recently, and I have no idea where they are, and I have no. I did not sell them because I have records of everything I've sold. And they're not in my car, and they're not in my apartment.
No, you didn't.
What?
You sold me the camera, but I got the mic that you have.
Yeah, no, you don't. You definitely don't have this mic because I had it after I moved here. I remember using it a year ago, and I have pictures of it, and I've talked about it, and I sent an email to Matt saying I have this microphone. I have no idea where it is.
Weird.
So maybe it's, you know, I mean, maybe they are producing Extremist Island, and it ended up there. I can only hope.
I hope so.
Okay, so speaking of, you know, death, there was a man in Baltimore who and his two sons were found dead in the county manure pit.
Wow.
Which is
a topic.
Yeah, I mean, first of all, I mean, like, hopefully they were killed and then put in the manure pit, because in terms of, I've always said, I don't want to drown or burn to death. Those are, like, my two least favorite ones. I wouldn't want to be eaten by a shark. I mean, there are a lot of ways I don't want to die. I generally would like to not die in general. But, yeah. And if I had to choose, it would definitely not be burning or drowning. But now I think this story has won up that, because I would much rather drown in water than a manure pit, I think.
I don't know.
I mean, unless drowning in a manure pit goes faster. I really not want to know the difference. But either way, of the places I would want to be found dead, a manure pit is not one of them. I'm wondering, if you had to be found dead somewhere, where is, like, the last place you guys would want to end up?
The last place?
Or the first
place? You know what would be the worst, like, really bad, now that I'm just thinking about it? This is probably because of something I have to do later today, but I really wouldn't want to be in, like, a giant pile of cat litter. you, Statler.
Yeah.
Because it probably has something to do with the fact that I'm sitting like 10 feet away from a litter box right now. Mm-hmm. But I'm just thinking about if I had to die in there, that would be really bad. It would smell so awful and it would just be like hell.
Mm-hmm.
It would be just like dying in caked urine.
On the plus side, though, if someone found your body, it might absorb some of the smell and make it a little more pleasant for them.
I don't care about them. I'm dead.
Yeah. Well, you probably don't care about anything.
The first thing that came to mind for me was like a bathroom in a bar or something.
Well, if you'd be found quickly, though.
Well, if you're in the bathroom and so you have like a heart attack and you lock the door, mm-hmm. people are going to get like really pissed or polite because they don't want to like even knock. Can't hear it because it's loud. So any chance of surviving could decrease because it's like, oh, someone's in there. So they just wait till you die. And then it's like, wait, he's been in there a while. And then when they break it down, they find you. So yeah. It's the worst place to be found because no one would realize that you had something had happened in there.
Yeah. Well,
or you could have a situation where someone said, it was knocking on the door and no one's responding. And they're like, dude, what are you, dead? And then they open the door and you are dead, and then they feel really bad. And then you've changed someone's life.
And then he kills himself. And then so I've taken another life by...
But then he falls into the stall onto your dead body. It closes and locks itself again. And the same thing just keeps happening until the bodies pile up and they're like, what's going on in this bathroom?
Death bathroom.
I think that guy should go...
Oh, that's a great movie. Have you seen that?
I will not see that.
No, Death Bathroom.
Is that a movie?
Yeah, no, there's a movie called Death Bathroom. It's awesome. It's kind of like a cross between basically any slasher film and Little Shop of Horrors. It's like
it's like a toilet that kills people?
There's a guy in a bar. Mm-hmm. And he owns the bar. Mm-hmm. And he's constantly like he has this joke and he doesn't realize that he's like what he's doing and so on, and he pees on the toilet and shits in the toilet, and he's always you know, berating the toilet for being like, you're so stupid, you have to eat my shit and whatever. And one day he's pooping with a wizard in the next stall, and the wizard is like, I'm gonna teach this guy a lesson, casts a magic spell on the toilet and turns it into a murderous toilet, and the toilet starts eating people, and it's pretty bad.
Awesome.
Yeah, no, it's a great movie. And everyone should IMDb that right now and find out all about it.
I hope that people do that.
Yeah.
I do.
Yeah, you know, it's great. Okay, so it's toilet, no bar toilet deaths for Matt and no kitty litter for Becca. Yeah. Is that correct? Okay. So, yeah, I mean...
I think I might die later in a thing of kitty litter.
I still think I prefer, I guess, don't prefer the manure pit the most.
It's pretty similar to mine, actually.
Yeah, no, you and I don't, you know, and I'm like, as a poop lover, it doesn't, it, like, everyone's always like, but you love poop. Why would you not want to die in poop? And like, there's a very distinct difference. First of all, I don't love poop. I love talking about it. There's a big difference because it's like, no one poops and then looks at their poop in the toilet and be like, aww. That doesn't happen.
You don't do that?
No.
I mean, I don't, but I'm just saying.
Sometimes you get scared. What? Like, oh, it didn't feel good. And then you turn around and go, yeah, it doesn't look good either.
Yeah, that happened to me yesterday. And the thing is...
It's me yesterday!
We're poop brothers.
Poop twinsies.
I need to leave the room.
Okay, this is... I don't know if you've ever experienced this. Here's a TMI moment.
Good.
Yeah, well, no, that's what we do
here.
We're
all adults here, Becca.
Yeah.
We poop all the time.
Yeah, I mean, sometimes this happens, especially when I get sick for whatever reason. My body's like, I'm busy combating illness, so you're just not going to poop for a while.
Mm.
And then when the time comes, it's a big one, probably made up entirely of saltines. No, but
I'm putting a giant box of saltines right now on the couch. This does not help the story.
So it was
I'm
white?
I'm not kidding.
And it still manages to be brown, but it's like it, because it's like basically I process food, it's not really the best quality, and so it's not a soft poop encased in rectal mucus that leaves your anus comfortably. It's like you're shitting out a rock with sandpaper on it. And yeah, and so and then when they're big, that's not fun.
No.
So for whatever reason, I've had instances, I mean, sometimes the poop falls in the toilet nicely, where it just snakes down the drain a little bit, so it's ready to get flushed when you press the flusher. Other times, it kind of falls in the middle, and I really need to figure out ass trajectory so I can solve this problem. But when that happens, it gets sucked in from the middle and then doubles up on itself. So you have this poop that will never fit down the toilet, and then the only solution at that point is to take a knife and cut it in half and then move it around. And once you do that, I mean, that's really one of the most disturbing things that a person can do with their own shit.
This is where we stop being alike. I've never had to do that.
Yeah, I don't recommend. I hope you never will. I don't recommend doing it if you find any other way around that. I'd love to know it. It's happened to me a couple times, and it is not a pleasant experience. So when people say I love poop, I'm like, no, I don't love poop. I've had experiences with poop I really do not enjoy, and that is among them.
Love poop. You're not in love with poop.
Exactly. Becca, how are those saltines, by the way?
Are you guys still talking? I closed my ears about 5 minutes
ago. I'm done. I don't know about our host here.
No, I'm done. I think we can move on to shit.
And everything's been said in the last 2 minutes.
Husband?
Huh?
I thought you said husband.
Excuse me?
Are you dropping subtle hints right now?
Are you making Freudian slips all over the place?
No!
Can you make a Freudian shit?
Freudian shit? Is what that when, like, you mean to pee and you shit instead?
I think it does.
I think it does now.
Yeah. Turning the topic to child molestation, there's a guy, I don't know what his name is, I guess I could look it up, but his Twitter handle is Shittington UK, which I guess is making fun of towns in the UK. And his name is Sean Teherachi or Teherachi. Anyway, I don't know how to pronounce that, but he's a comedian and he's funny. And I've been following him for a while, and he had a tweet like a year and a half ago or something about how he was making a joke that he's writing a TV pilot that's like Dexter, but instead it's a rapist who just rapes other rapists. And people found that. Well, people found this really offensive, and he got a lot of shit for it, this kind of bothered me a lot because he was clearly not making fun of rape. He's saying you people watch Dexter and think it's cool to watch some guy kill other people, but if it were rape, then it's suddenly like that's suddenly wrong. Like it's okay if some guy's killing other serial killers, but I mean, it was a very pointed remark, and it was funny, and people just, you know, you put something controversial in a joke at all, and people confuse the subject with the point.
Yeah.
But that's not what we're talking about here. I was just thinking like in terms of pseudo superheroes, if there was actually a child molester or a rapist, what a crappy job that would be. Like that, your job is just to rape people. Like that, you're doing, like your way of doing good in the world is to rape people. That's
actually more personal than killing someone. Actually,
yeah, and
because you have to like be inside of that person.
Yeah, and
inside of the person.
Not that I in any way recommend people doing this, but it would. I would imagine it would get the point across more than killing them. Because they would be alive to remember what it's like. On the other hand, who knows? I just probably would be better to not rape people at all.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I think if we're going to have a solution here, not raping is a good one. But there are probably a lot of other bad superheroes to be. There's one in a Would You Rather book. I can't remember what the other option was, but one of the superheroes you could be you'd be called the tailor, and your superpower was really fast ways to tailor someone's pants.
That was helpful in like 1% of situations.
Yeah.
Next.
I'm sure you could find some. I'm sure you could find a couple of. I mean, a couple like of
times in your life that would be useful.
Unfortunately, because you don't have to do it well.
No, but, you could run a really good tailor business.
No, but like he's really bad with money. That's his weakness. He's really bad with money and running a business. Paying his taxes.
He just can't keep his tailor business going.
Yes.
He is, I mean, that guy, yeah. You don't want to be that guy. I mean, what superpowers would you really not, or superhero responsibilities would you not want to have?
Oh. Well, I wouldn't want to have the power to give anyone money, because then nobody would ever leave you alone.
Well, it's better than having the power to like give someone AIDS. I guess anyone has that power, but I mean, if like that was you, like you could beam it over.
Power.
What?
Why would you ever use that?
Well, hopefully you wouldn't.
Well, so that's pointless, because if you're a good person, then
use powers. But these are the superpowers you don't want to have though.
So you're saying that you have to use your power no matter what it is.
Well, you'd have to find something. Yeah, you'd have to find some way to do good with it.
Oh.
I don't know. I don't really know how beaming AIDS to people that you could fight.
I wouldn't want the power to like make people quickly and easily able to tell each other they weren't interested in dating each other. Because that would take away a valuable learning situation for most people, because everybody would want you to like dump this person for me or tell them that I'm not attracted to them, and then it would just be like, well, I told them you're not attracted to them and they feel really bad and you got off scot-free, and that's not a good thing, because you need to confront people and you need to learn how to have conflicts in your life.
I feel like this you could get a good story arc out of that one.
Yeah, you probably could. Somebody who got that power.
Yeah, and but it sounds like the power you want least of all is a power that gives you the responsibility to do stuff that other people should know how to do themselves. And I think that's admirable not to want that.
You shouldn't give people a break like that. They should take care of it themselves. Or to get people out of credit card debt. That's another thing. I sound like a mom right now. Because getting out of credit card debt can be a very valuable learning experience and character building experience.
Your superhero could just be the mom, and you have all these superpowers in which you can solve everyone's problems, but don't. That's what you do.
You'd have like, a bunch. Super mom.
Oh, then you can make those donuts at Super America, which right. are so good, and those triangle sandwiches, which are so bad but also so good. Okay, this is what your superhero will be. You have the power to fix anyone's problems, but choose to make them learn the lesson the hard way, and you own a gas station and make really bad good food.
That I think that we just discovered the secret of Supermom.
Yeah.
As opposed to a bat cave, it's a gas station.
She's like, everyone just wants really delicious hot fresh donuts immediately. Right after they fill up their car with gas. Mm-hmm.
But I'm not going to bring those donuts until 9.
But if there's any relationship strife, she's not going to help. Yeah. She's only going to help fill their tummies.
Yeah. Well, no, but she's not going to bring in the good donuts until 9 p.m. the night before.
Right. Oh, God.
And then leave them there all night and wait.
Yes. I hate Supermom.
No. Well, it's
she's really bad.
I know. Well, it's the thing is the thing about these donuts. If you ever seriously go to a Super America, if you're ever in a state that has one,
New Hampshire.
Never even heard of it.
You never heard of Super America?
No, it's only like in in fact, I don't know if it's anywhere outside of Minnesota, but
anywhere really? Outside of Edina, Minnesota.
Really?
No, it's all over Minnesota.
Oh, okay.
But the donuts, they're really good for about 2 hours, and then they turn into these hard pieces of shit.
And you never get them before they're 2 hours old.
No, I always do. I go there, and I go there when the donuts come in. Sometimes I'll call them and ask them
how do you know besides calling them?
Because they're always in by 9 because they close at 10. So I know they'll be in there by 10 o'clock, and so I go in there and I'll go get it. My dad is actually the one who discovered this that, wow, that they had, like, we'd had the donuts before and hated them, but then he went before, and it's like, you have to consume them within 2 hours, otherwise they turn to crap. And that's not really, like, a comforting thought when you know that they're doing that in your stomach later, but they're so good. So that's, you know, you have to remember when you are super mom to do that. Make sure that your donuts are inconveniently accessible and taste like shit the next day. But
that's, you know, because you need to learn that you need to call and get there right when the donuts get there.
Yeah, because super mom. Yeah, no, super mom teaches responsibility and time management. Actually, let's talk about something upbeat. I had a dream, like,
don't believe you.
I'll find some way to make it depressing, but I had a dream in January that I just remembered last night, and it was about a lot of things. It was about an affair that I had with my Spanish teacher in college, which didn't make sense because it was a woman and I didn't have Spanish in college, but she was very mad at me, and some stuff happened. And I lived with my mother in a house by the sea. It may have been, or not this. Well, I don't know what it was. It was by some water. It could have been in the Hamptons. And we had this dog named Abraham Lincoln, and he was a golden retriever, and we called him Seaside Abe.
And
that's pretty cute.
And
he loves presidential dog names.
Yes. Anything with a rank or a title.
Tell him your favorite dog name.
Senator Barkington?
Yeah, okay. So,
Skirt Barkington?
Matt, you're already on the right track here, because I was thinking we can come up with some... We can come up with some other good roles for dogs in movies. And we've got two political ones already. Where we can have Abraham Lincoln, if he were turned into a dog... I mean, he's being turned into a vampire hunter right now for a current movie, so it's not too much of a stretch. And then we could have Senator Barkington. What is his full name?
Senator Wolfers Barkington.
Oh, Wolfers Barkington. Yeah. I mean, is he a Democrat or Republican or independent?
He third party, so independent.
Really?
Yeah.
I thought he was a moderate Republican.
Well, I mean, the moderate Republican. His third party is just the dog party, and they're moderate Republicans. Okay. They're social liberals and fiscal conservatives.
Okay,
that sounds good.
Yeah, most dogs are.
What breed is he though?
A black lab, I think.
I had a black lab once. She's a weird dog.
They're good dogs.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, no, I'm sure other ones are great. We had one who was just scared of everything. Although she was a. My mom always described the two dogs that we had as they were a mix of like three or four breeds, and I didn't understand sex at the time, and I mean I understood it with humans,
when was this, age one and a half?
No, they taught me about sex when I was three, and I knew, you know, the penis went in the vagina, ejaculated, and a baby was made, but I assumed, like, when she said our dogs were a mix of like three or four breeds, I assumed that just this dog, like this one dog, just got fucked by a lot of other man dogs, and all the semen got mixed together and made Flash and Simba.
Uh-huh.
And those are the two dogs, in case that wasn't clear.
That's clear.
That
makes sense when you are a kid.
Yeah, no, it's like it did not take me long to grasp the concept of orgies. I just didn't understand that if, you know, if one, and it's weird because
multiple sets of DNA.
Yeah, I mean, like I did know that one sperm got through the egg or whatever and fertilized it, but I just assumed that, oh well, if you just put a lot of them in there, they'll just, you know, I don't know, mix together.
Yeah,
and then create like multiple
super sperm.
Yeah, and then
if you're a kid, that's not a,
that makes sense. Yeah,
that doesn't make any of it.
Yeah, it's weird that it's
steeped in something.
Yeah,
it's weird that was like I was very bad at believing stuff. I went to Jewish school, or Jew school as I call it, and there's all this stuff about, like, when I would learn about religion, I thought they were telling me a story. Like, I didn't think it was real because it was so absurd to me. And it just, like, it sounded like the stories that my dad told me, and I'm like, all right, whatever. And then I was really surprised when people believed it, but of course, dog orgies were plausible to me.
Yeah.
that made total sense. But anyway, okay, so we've got two political candidates. What are some other great roles dogs could play in films?
A janitor.
Oh my god, we've had so many conversations about this. You don't even know, actually.
You know, that's great. There are a lot of
weekly basis.
No, the janitor's great because it would be an underdog movie.
Yeah, and his name would be Wilson. I like the name Wilson. Mm-hmm. He's got a little name tag.
I'd really like to see something about a dog gymnast in the Olympics.
Mm-hmm. There's a movie, The Shaggy DA, where a dog is the district attorney.
Is that real?
Well, it's a guy that turns into a dog.
Wait, that's a real thing? I remember, who's the guy who does Triumph the Insult comic dog? What's his name?
Robert Smigel.
Yeah, I thought Robert Smigel referenced The Shaggy DA in one of his songs, and I thought he just made that up or something.
No, it's a movie. Well, ever seen the movie The Shaggy Dog? It's like, it's this like teenager, it's like from the 50s, and he finds his ring, and it's not like a werewolf. Instead of a werewolf, he becomes a sheepdog by wearing like this ring that's cursed. Mm-hmm. And the sequel is The Shaggy DA, where he becomes the district attorney, but the curse somehow is some kind of relapse. So I guess the curse is like shingles or something, so it's always in you. You can always get it.
That's so weird, because something really similar happened to my friend Gabe.
What, he turned into a dog? Or he got shingles?
No, he didn't. He actually didn't get the shingles.
Or both.
He's a dog with shingles.
No.
He's a dog with shingles.
Well, no, he got this ring at some flea market and put it on, and he took it off after a while because he got this huge goiter. And after a while it started becoming clear that this was not any ordinary goiter, and it turned out to be like a dog's head grew out of him.
Oh my god!
It was one of the most bizarre things that I have ever seen.
Oh, okay.
And
did he feed it often?
Well, he did. That was the toughest part, because it's like this thing is, you know, basically growing out of his shoulder. So he's eating, and the dog will just grab the food. It was impossible. He had to put a muzzle on it.
You're pretty much obligated to take care of it at that point.
Well, yeah. I mean, does it have fur at least, or is it like this kind of skinless, like inside out dog?
Yeah, no. I mean, that would have been really gross. Mm-hmm. No.
That was gross.
Yeah, no, it was a Weimaraner, and it was pretty easy maintenance because they don't really shed a whole lot. And it was a good-looking dog, but, I mean, after, like, 2 years of trying to do this, and, I mean, like, he had some starvation issues, and also, like, there's one time the dog had pulled him, he was going to the bathroom, and the dog tried to lick the toilet and drink the water and everything, and he banged his head on the toilet and got knocked out unconscious, and then the dog licked him back into consciousness. And it was really sweet, but he had to put the dog down because it was like he just couldn't live his life anymore. It was just one of the weirdest things.
I hate stories about one of dogs who die.
Yeah.
Even if it grows out of your shoulder, it's pretty sad.
I mean, like, for a week, though, like, he put it down for a week, he just left the dog head hanging off of him, and it was the most awkward thing hanging out with him, because he wouldn't talk about it because he was in such shock of having this friend.
So, like, just the head would like flop around.
No, we were out to lunch one day, and there's this dead dog head hanging off of his shoulder, and he would just act like there was like absolutely nothing was wrong.
It was like a Weekend at Bernie's thing. He put like sunglasses on it and like scratch on the ears and.
You need some water.
Oh, you need some water.
It was like the inverse of Weekend at Bernie's, in which he was pretending it wasn't even there anymore. I mean, he eventually had it removed, and I'm not really sure why
St. Bernard's.
Oh god.
No, but the happy ending to the story, though, was that when he had the head cut off and like with minimal scarring and everything to himself, obviously it's dog head, there's a big like neck area. He was able to have it, you know, freeze dried and then mounted on the wall, so he can always, you know, they always be remembered. It was kind of, it's still a little weird to see it because it was hanging out there, the neck's kind of bent, and And it's just like the dog looks like it's kind of sleeping and kind of also being poisoned.
Dog's Head Revisited. I figured it out. All right. Awesome.
Did he invent Dog's Head beer? Because I've heard of that. It's really good.
Yeah, what's your friend's name?
I don't think it's Gabe.
Oh, yeah, it's not him.
Yeah, but it's, I don't think it's Dog's Head. I think it's Dogfish, which is great, by the way. I love Dogfish.
It's Dogfish.
You're thinking of something else.
No, I was thinking of Dogfish. No, you're right. I was off.
Is there something head, though, with beer?
Goat's Head? There's definitely a head beer.
No.
I'm sure there's some kind of something head beer.
There should just be head. There should just be a beer called Head. And then you pour it out and it's all head. There's no beer.
That sounds really gross.
Good lacing, though.
What?
It's all lacing.
It's all lacing?
Well, lacing is the remnants of, like, the head.
Oh, okay.
The glass.
Know a lot more about beer than I do.
Yeah, I don't know anything.
It actually
beer.
Might be, like, 75% wrong, though.
Oh, well,
it
don't know.
It doesn't matter. I mean, like, nothing has to be true. There's, there are a lot of things untrue that we have mentioned recently.
Yeah, that's okay.
I mean, like the fact that
The fact that you changed your friend's name just to keep his privacy.
Yeah, and also, I felt bad about lying about this, but I actually did die in a manure pit.
Oh.
So I
lie. We're friends.
What?
Life?
Yeah, we don't mind.
No,
the way you are.
Dead and all.
Dead and smelling like shit.
Yeah, well, it's no one's seen me in a week, and so I'm glad I'm mentioning it here because I was afraid to talk about it with people and that they notice, and it's been really weird like picking up food because it's a little hard to cook when you smell bad because you can't tell if you're doing it well or not. So I've been going to restaurants and yeah, it's like I've been going to the regular places and they're treating me the same, but I can tell that they know that I'm dead. So
you're telling me, this is the part that's blowing my mind right now.
Yeah.
Are you telling me ghosts can Skype?
Oh, no, I'm not a ghost. I'm like it's kind of like a zombie, but I don't eat people.
Oh. So zombies can Skype.
Did you ever see that? Yeah. Oh, yeah. No, they're totally, yeah.
That's scary, actually.
Yeah, no, have you seriously never gotten a phone call and all you hear is bleh, on the other end? Oh, that happens to me all the time.
I'm never going to make any more phone calls or Skypes anymore.
No, most people think it's pocket dialing, but it's actually Skype zombies.
Oh,
I learned. I have. Sense. You wouldn't believe the things that I've learned in the past week from dying. It is really disturbing what happens afterwards. I mean, I never thought there was an afterlife, but there's not. It's not really so much an afterlife as it's just like more life. Only you smell worse. So
does everybody become a zombie?
I don't know what happens to everyone because I mean, like I've seen people die before in my family and like you know on the news or whatever, and I don't hear from them, and I assume that they just you know like they went to Africa or something to do like you know good things to do like what is it, volunteer work.
So it's not like an affliction, like everyone dies and then.
Well, I wanted to stay here because I don't give a shit about people, but the. But a lot of people, most zombies are out curing AIDS, and it's really, they're underrepresented. And they get a really bad rap in film.
So smart.
And they're going around trying to do AIDS prevention and treatment in Africa, and no one.
Mm-hmm.
What?
I said, that's actually great. I didn't know zombies were such do-gooders.
But the mainstream media is way.
I know. No, it's one
they
of
don't
those,
even cover it.
Yeah, and the thing is, like, but that it's like. That I mean, that's what really blew my mind out of all of this is that the zombies are doing all this crazy good stuff, and I mean, like honestly, yeah, they're gross, and I say that as a dead person, like I get it. It's not very appealing to the living, but they're really good people, and no one gives them the chance, and it's like there's just so much judgment from appearances these days. That
yeah, true.
Yeah, and I mean, just like Snow White and the Huntsman just came out, and
Snow White and the John Huntsman.
What?
Snow White and the John Huntsman, you mean?
Yes. Yes.
Okay.
Yeah, and Charlize Theron is sucking the life out of people and essentially turning them into zombie corpses, And it's like that's just one of many recent, I mean, Cabin in the Woods had zombies in it, and those guys were assholes. And it's like no one is talking about their volunteer work and what they and what they've done to help the AIDS epidemic. And
well, you know, I think that they need to invest more in marketing because I haven't seen anything about that.
Well, no one hires. That's why they're all doing volunteer work, because no one will hire a zombie. I'm really lucky that I write for a blog, and you know, like no one has to smell me on a regular basis. So it's not, you know, and like I can write, so I don't have to talk. I don't know if my voice is going to degrade in the next few weeks, and I'm just going to be mumbling and stuff. I mean, like I'm hoping that it works out. You ever see that movie Death Becomes Her with Goldie Hawn and
but I know of it. Yeah.
Yeah, like they. I mean, they live forever, but their bodies kind of degrade if they get hit. So I'm hoping, like, as long as I preserve myself, okay. And I'm assuming the shit smell will come off eventually. Otherwise, I'll just get like a new coat of skin or something. But
I mean, I would think that maybe that's kind of with you for all eternity if that's how you die.
I mean, everybody's got their challenges in life or like afterlife.
I've actually heard that, you know, like all the George Romero movies, like Dawn of the Dead and Day of the Dead and stuff. I mean, I've heard that with zombies, that's like their song of the South. They're very insensitive towards their race.
What is
the Dawn of the Dead movies, the George Romero movies?
That's their
version of Song of the South. Yes.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
We all familiar with Song of the South.
That makes sense.
It was a Disney. It was a Disney movie that was banned because it was super racist towards black people.
Right. Yeah.
Sounds like Disney.
Yeah.
Well, 1940s something was the 40s. I don't remember.
Oh, they've done lots of great stuff like that.
Oh yeah, and they won't talk about it anymore. But.
But
yeah, kind of the same. It's kind of the modern version of that.
Well, you know, it's good. I'm really happy because we got into the one positive topic in this entire show and managed to turn it back to death again. So I'm really happy with
taking
this. Come here, Ashby.
Oh.
What?
Sorry, there's distracting cats on our end that are really cute.
If you get really upset at them and like accidentally kill them out of rage, they'll still be around. I can vouch for that.
Cat zombie.
Yeah. I mean, that's fun.
Oh, he'd be the cutest cat zombie I've ever seen. With his fluffy cat zombie tummy.
Yeah.
Which might be rotting off by the time he's a zombie, but you could still scratch his tummy.
Yeah. And if it falls off, you can just put it in your pocket and scratch it whenever you want.
Can zombies turn you into a zombie? Like, can you turn
other people? No. That is a huge misunderstanding.
Oh, really? Okay. Good to know. So you can't turn me into a zombie or something?
No, I mean, I could kill you and then you might become a zombie. I mean, I don't know because it's like, I haven't seen any ghosts, so I don't know if like a ghost is an option. But let's talk about this. One of the disadvantages of being a zombie is that people can see you. And also, it's also an advantage because then you can interact with people still. But if you're a ghost, you could, you know, watch women in the shower as they shower. Like this.
Yeah, sure. That's the first thing you'd do if you were a ghost.
Well, if I were a UPS man from San Diego, it is. There's a guy. He allegedly was making a delivery and then decided to eye this woman, this 26-year-old woman who was in the shower, and he just hung out there for about 15 minutes watching her, and I think that would be like. If you like that would be something you could get away with if you're a ghost. But it's just kind of the thought that if you're a UPS guy and you're doing that, I'm wondering if the thing that was going through this guy's head was like, oh, I could be in a porno. I'm a UPS guy, so I'm just gonna watch her shower and then she's gonna see me. She's gonna be a little freaked out and be like,
oh, probably.
Wait, do you have a package for me?
Yeah, that's probably I do.
That's really the only way this should have gone. So, I mean, my position is that women are generally just total assholes when it comes to everything. And, I mean, that's why I decided to be gay, because I hate dealing with you. Sorry, Becca, no offense. But
please, I'm not into girls either.
Yeah. I mean, you get it. You're all horrible people, so...
It's tough.
We're horrible women. I don't want to group. I don't want anyone to be confused that men could possibly be in that category. but yeah, no. It's like they're always complaining about being like looked at and sexually harassed and whatever. And and it's like you got a hot naked body and you're young or whatever. The UPS guy, he's bringing you a package. Like, let it happen. This is a very rare and sexual encounter. He's offering. I mean, the guy was 43, so maybe he's not your first choice, but he is a UPS guy. So
really, you think that's going to be a positive in his department? Like,
oh yeah, no, there's nothing sexier than a package delivery person. You've met them before, haven't you? They bring people iPads.
Yeah, not everybody.
No, not everybody, but they're like that's who Apple trusts FedEx and UPS to bring iPads to people through the mail from China. Like, okay. these are people who have seen the world or a region of the world that's localized. Yeah. Yeah. And they're in a big brown suit, so it's like basically getting fucked by poop. And or in the case of a FedEx guy, an eggplant. And
right.
I just don't really understand why anyone wouldn't find that attractive.
You don't understand why anyone wouldn't find that attractive?
Yeah.
I feel like there are much better colors that you could be in than brown. That's like the worst color of a uniform.
Okay, well, if they were orange, it would be like getting fucked by the sun, and then you get sunburned, and that would be bad. Or if it was green, it'd be like a slime monster oozing all over you, and that's not sexy. But like, poop kind of looks like a penis shape.
Poop is not sexy.
Well, like, mailmen are dressed in blue, so is that like being fucked by the sky?
By a Smurf, maybe. Or a Smurf. I think that would be all right.
It's more Smurf-like, but the color, I think that's probably...
I think that's fine.
And it's also like being fucked by America, and if you're going to get fucked by anyone, I mean, like, America's real good at it.
Mm-hmm.
They fuck everybody.
That's true, yeah, that's true.
I don't know... Okay, so have you guys heard of these, of laundry drops?
No.
Okay, I bet you've seen them. They're little packets of laundry detergent.
Oh, that you like drop into your thing.
Yeah, you only have to carry them, and I've found them so convenient for washing clothing. I had never thought of eating them.
Wow.
And apparently, some kids in Pittsburgh have been eating these laundry detergent packets rather than using them for laundry.
And getting high.
And no, mainly for episodes of vomiting.
Oh.
Well, everybody wants to know how to induce a good episode of vomiting.
Well, yeah, no, I mean, it's a great appetite suppressant, and they taste phenomenal. I haven't had a chance to sit down to dinner yet, so I will report back.
Should. What are they supposed to taste like?
Like soap, but like really highly concentrated soap, so you get more of the flavor. And
yeah, the thing seals in the flavor.
Yeah, I was sucking on it a little bit before the show, and I'm going to have a really good dinner. And what's so great about it is that not only are they tasty, but they're bite size. You can get a lot, and then when you're done, you not only vomit up what you just ate, but what you ate earlier. So it's a really good weight program.
There's no such thing as too thin. That's what I always say.
Yeah, and so there.
I think it's too soapy or too thin.
Yeah, and so far, like, there have been 250 cases of people doing this reported. Like, it's a bad thing. And I'm like you're like, I think people are looking at this the wrong way. You have
what do you think is bad about it?
Well, I think they're looking at it as like they might poison themselves. And the problem, I mean, like, if you don't
poison themselves,
if you don't eat laundry detergent packets responsibly, yeah, you're gonna poison yourself. But the same thing goes with anything. If you eat too much potassium, you'll poison yourself too. But you know, you don't see people taking bananas off the market.
That's ridiculous. They always want to find something wrong with whatever.
Well, it's to
create controversy.
Yeah, it's the sensational media that is jumping on this laundry detergent thing. I mean, like, parents should be elated that their kids have chosen laundry detergent instead of like bulimia, even though it's kind of the same thing. But I mean, bulimia is worse because then like you don't even get the joy of eating your finger. You just like kind of get to taste it in the back of your mouth, which is not great. And
unless Joy actually does make one of those.
Who makes what?
Unless Joy, the company who makes laundry detergent, makes those packets.
I don't know. I mean, like, the thing is, I'm gonna try it. Well, I'll make some. Purell makes them. Oh, no, I'm sorry, not Purell, Purex.
Oh, Purell, man.
Yeah, I read that wrong. They could probably do like hand sanitizer packets. Those would be good. And then I have whoever makes laundry drops. I use those, and so those are. But I think it's like I mean, first of all, there are all these, you know, great brands that you can latch on to. And then if you get sick of, you may not want to eat the same type of food every. I mean, it's like I love Indian food, but if I had to eat it every day, I would.
Well, why would you have to eat it every day? I mean, you can just include it as part of your regular diet.
Well, yeah, no, I mean, but you have to eat the same laundry detergent packets every day. The nice thing is, like, if you get bored with that, there are, you have the little dishwasher tabs, so you can kind of mix it up. And my recommendation, personally, because I've been eating these for a while, and I was just hitting myself over the head this week when I heard about the laundry detergent packets. I'm like, I can't believe I've been eating dishwasher tabs this long.
And you didn't even think
of the laundry.
Urgent?
Yeah, so I'm really excited because those are like, it's like a gusher but with soap, and but the dishwasher tabs are a little bit harder. But the one I like the most is the Quantum Finish dishwasher tab, because that one has a little bit of jet. What is that?
Yeah, the jet dry stuff.
Jet dry. Yeah, so it's like you get a little bit of the.
Which looks really appetizing to me.
Yeah, you get a little, and it has like a little cleaning thing in the middle and different flavors on the outside, so you get two flavors.
It'll give you a really good, like, after finish.
Yeah.
Aftertaste.
No, it's great, because then any other food that goes into you, because the jet dry is like all up in your esophagus and your stomach and stuff, and your intestines, it just slides right out. So you just put it in and it goes and right out your butt.
Wow, that's nice.
I know. Awesome.
Pretty low in fat.
They should add that to other foods then, because then just not absorb certain things.
Yeah, I mean, because I got sick recently. I haven't been able to have it. And then I had that poop we talked about recently, which is uncomfortable. But if I had been consuming Jet Dry, which is apparently bad.
Jets right out.
Yeah, exactly. I would not have to chop up my poops with a knife. Right. So I don't know. I mean, I think this whole thing is blown way out of proportion. And it's pretty ridiculous. I'm glad you guys are on the same page with me, because it seems like no one agrees.
Really? That's shocking to me.
Yeah, no. Well, I mean, at least Pittsburgh is out of their fucking minds.
Well, whatever. They have nothing better to do till September when the Steelers start playing.
Yeah. So the thing is, it's like, you know, I just want to be clear. I'm not saying that people should be consuming, over-consuming, or irresponsibly consuming any sorts of cleaning products.
Oh. Well, we're just talking moderation.
Yeah. So only, you know, only consume what's healthy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think everybody could use a dose of sanity.
Yeah. I mean, they're, well, if they're listening to this podcast, they're definitely getting it.
Mm.
Good. Good for us.
Well, that's all I have on the agenda for today.
That's good, because I really have to pee.
Okay, but don't have a Freudian shit, though.
Yeah, don't do that.
I'm glad you could hold it long enough to speak with us, Becca.
I'm working on increasing my stamina.
Yeah, and Matt, I'm sorry you didn't have to pee this whole time, and this wasn't very challenging for you, but.
No, it's cool.
No, this really taught me a lot about holding in my urine.
And you've now given me the gift of also wanting to go pee. Because now I feel like I have to go.
There you go.
Yeah,
that's what I'm about.
The gift that keeps on giving. So let's let's think back. We've talked about killing people, molesting children, dead where you don't want to die, where you actually did die. What it's like to be a zombie, what kind of roles dogs could play in the movies, the advantage of being a ghost when watching women in the shower, and our new best food, the consumption of laundry detergent packets. I think we've covered a lot.
Great.
That's most things. Those are really the pressing issues of today, so I like that.
Yeah. So yeah. I want to thank you both for coming onto the podcast and not disagreeing with me on almost everything, because no one hates anybody more than when they disagree with them. And
do anything you say, Adam Dachis.
I'm just really scared of you.
I'm glad. I mean, that's what I hope for. Well, thank you, and I think
thank you.
We'll leave our listener with this old timey music, and we'll see you next time on Grandma's email address.
I hope so.
All right,
it's
bye.
Been fun.
Bye.
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 Bye.